I had to smile while they were singing that. They always do a good job. I looked down there, they were both tapping their feet. Oh, that was cute. Let's go to the book of Proverbs this evening, the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. This is the fourth message in the series on stewardship. And this evening, I've entitled this Financial Dangers. And I preach these things as not as one that has been able to accomplish all things, but try to preach to you from the wisdom of Scripture that we might all learn. Proverbs chapter 30, three verses, 7 through 9 of Proverbs 30, beginning at verse 7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. We have heard what the Bible states concerning stewardship, the stewardship of our resources. God owns us and all that we possess, and we're stewards of all he has entrusted to us, and we will give an account on the day of judgment with what God has entrusted to us. That's the principle of stewardship. We preach the message on God's design and purpose for us in work. God created man to glorify him in work. He designed and commanded man to be fruitful, to subdue and exercise dominion over the earth. And then in our third message, the Bible's definition of wealth, riches, and glory. And we know that in a natural sense, there is wealth, and God has given some of his people wealth. But I defined it in its truest sense, as the Bible would call it, true riches. Our wealth is our riches in Jesus Christ, eternal treasures laid up in heaven by goodly and godly works of faith, being rich toward God. Those riches that are not taken away in death. These are the true riches of God. Now, one could preach a message on how to be a steward if God has blessed you abundantly. We find certain men in the Bible God blessed and they were rich. But in our message on wealth, we defined it according to what we know that the Apostle John, in writing 3 John, he desired for the one to whom he wrote. He said that he would prosper and be in good health even as his soul prospered. And so the soul prospers because of our relationship with God and the true riches of salvation. This evening, we will scripturally consider some financial dangers or pitfalls. Our text reveals that certain circumstances can present a test of our godly character. Riches, as the text would tell us, can tempt someone to deny God. We find in verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? And certainly riches can do that. There's many today, we would not, in our society, we think in a relativistic way, and we do not think of, in other words, many people that biblically, in the understanding of this, would be rich, we would not think of as being rich. And there are some, even God's children, and they are tempted just to sit back and say, well, I don't really need the Lord. Now, I don't want to embarrass anyone, don't want to embarrass myself. But if I were to ask a show of hands, how many of you prayed each day the last week, give us this day our daily bread? The Lord said, pray after this manner. And part of the Lord's prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Well, I don't have to pray for that. I just go to my cabinet. I've got all kinds of bread in the refrigerator. Got all kinds of stuff. Why do I need to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. You see, God wants us to recognize that all things come from Him. And so the temptation here is that when we have plenty, that we end up denying the Lord. There is a temptation in doing well financially. I have everything I need. I don't need the Lord is the idea. But then poverty can tempt one to steal. And that's what he says. You see, in verse 8, remember, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord God in vain. And so there's a temptation here. This would be taking God's name in vain here. We would find that stealing. Now, that's interesting. We think of taking God's name in vain as just to use His name in vanity. And let me say this. A lot of times there's kind of a Christian cursing. Not cursing, but vanity, I should put. In other words, when God's name is spoken, it's a purpose. In other words, you're praying, you're instructing, you're teaching. It's not, oh Lordy this, and oh God this, and oh heaven, and this and that. When we speak, God's name is to, it should call things to attention. In other words, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name, those that take his name in vain. God's name is to be hallowed. And so we need to hallow God's name. And so it's not just taking the name of the Lord in vain when we curse, when someone curses or whatever, but when we use his name carelessly. In vain means without a purpose. So whenever you, the Lord's name comes out of your mouth, ask yourself, why is it coming out of your mouth? Are you instructing someone in righteousness? Are you fruitfully giving praise to God? Are you, you know, that type of thing? We should not just use the Lord's name carelessly. But the point I want you to see here is he says nothing about what this person would say, but it says he would steal, but stealing takes the name of the Lord in vain. Because if you're a child of God, you're bearing the name of God. And if you steal, you're dishonoring the name of God. That's the idea here. Now, neither poverty nor riches have any intrinsic evil. But they can tempt one to have a wrong attitude about money. In Jesus' day, some were cast into debtor's prison. Matthew 18, verses 29 and 30 is the context of the kingdom parable, one of the kingdom parables that involved money. And it involved a debtor asking for mercy. You see? And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt, you see. Now, today, being cast into prison for not paying our debts is not a frequent reality. But many are experiencing a financial bondage. One of the most common causes of bondage is the abuse of credit. The abuse of credit. Proverbs 22:7 says this, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And many in our day have gotten themselves into financial bondage through borrowing and the various means that that can be done. And what happens is, as this proverb says, they then become a servant to the lender. And so we need to be very careful concerning that. And it is a type of bondage. You know, I don't know of anyone personally that's gone to prison for not paying their debts. Typically, there's some type of you can for fraud and various things. And there's different ways they do that. And one could go to prison. But I do know there are many that have, and many times Christians, that can be in bondage in the abuse of credit. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10 gives good instruction. We need to hear. It says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Now, when it says they that would be or will be, they that will be rich, that construction means those that desire to be rich. In other words, desiring to be rich and having this desire and lust to be rich is not a good desire. Okay? Is what the Lord is saying. It opens up one to temptation, a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lust. You'll find, matter of fact, right here in the book of Proverbs, you may not even have to turn. I don't even think I have to turn a page in my Bible. Look at chapter 28 and verse 20. Chapter 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. That's Proverbs 28:20. Now, what he is saying is, we've heard the terminology a get-rich-quick scheme. How many of you heard that? Get-rich-quick scheme. Okay, if I'm pronouncing all of that properly. That's what haste means, quickly. And so, the idea here is, because of someone's inordinate desire to be rich. Now, there's nothing wrong with a person desiring to have proper things and to have that which they need and want to that. But when it becomes this idea to this point that they're using, their desire has begun to control them, that they're doing things in haste and jeopardizing that which they have on particular investments and particular ways. You know, you have some, even Christians, will go out and buy lottery tickets and various things like that. We're not to have that kind of attitude. Matter of fact, we have in our, I've got one up here somewhere, our church covenant, that we should not gamble, because the whole basis of gambling is this inordinate desire to have. And if you stop and think, if someone won $5 million in a lottery, what kind of money are you getting? Whose money are you getting? Where did that come from? Man, I wouldn't want to touch that stuff. I mean, how many people have taken that away from where it needs to be? And I'll tell you, one time when our son Josh, he and his wife were living in Carrollton, we were down there about something. I can't remember exactly how this all came about. But Vicki was in one store, and I needed to go to a Walmart or Kroger's or something. And she said, well, I'll drop you off here, and then I'll come back and get you, and then we'll go home or go to Josh's. I don't know which direction we were going. So I'm standing there. Well, they had one of these machines. You could come in and just put the money in and get it, these lottery tickets. And I'm standing there. I watch this lady come in. She bought some tickets. She went back. Then she came in. She bought some more tickets. She went back. And, man, I don't know, just in that short time was there, I don't know how much she spent. I remember, and you've heard the story, I trust she doesn't mind me telling it, when Sister Tammy and them came back, they had a convenience store and had one of those things in there, and they sold them. And so she came back, and I said, well, I said, you know, because the church is staying, I said, it's one thing if you're working at a store and you're selling that because you work there, that's one thing. But if you're getting the profit from it, you know, that's not really the right thing. It's a little different than someone just working at Kroger's or whatever. And she fully agreed. And she said, you don't have to tell me. She said, I've seen people come in here and spend money that they do not have. She's had people come in there one time to spend $200 on lottery tickets, and people that didn't have $200, you know, trying to get rich quick. And bless her heart, she said, well, we're selling the place, and so we'll get rid of it. Well, they went a whole 3 months because we waited to receive her, and they didn't sell it. And I said, well, we'll just tell the church to be patient. You know, you'll get another 3. Well, they got near the next 3 months, and the guy came in. And I'm sure it was with Scott's understanding, but the gentleman came in to restock it, and Tammy said, take it out of here. What? She said, take it. I want it gone. She said, leave a big hole in the counter. She said, I don't care. Take the whole thing and get out of here. And they sold the store 2 weeks later. But this get rich quick, and Christians get caught up in that, you see. And so we have to be careful. The Apostle Paul also stated in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just industrial goals that people might have and save to get a house and those kind of things. I'm not talking about that. But when someone just has a desire and an inordinate desire to be rich, I've shared this with whenever he preached on money. I always remember this. When I was younger, I got into a few different sales. And those people, boy, they just really motivate you. And I'll never forget this one. You could see it in his eyes. Have you ever seen certain things in people's eyes? I mean, you didn't have to be a genius to realize that this guy just lived and loved money. And that's what the motivation was. Everything was more, 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 more. And it didn't work for me because I thought, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I don't necessarily have to have all this more that you're talking about. And so I didn't do very good in that. But we have to be careful about those. We can be ensnared by those things. That's what he's saying. Many sorrows. Now, it's not wrong to borrow money if we can pay it back without being in bondage. We live in a world, and even back in Bible days, they had people that would borrow money. It's not an intrinsic evil to borrow money, but when one gets themselves into bondage, that's where there's a problem. And also another thing, and a lot of people and Christians don't realize this today. A lot of people, just at a drop of a hat, you know, do different things that will keep them from paying the money back. Well, the book of Proverbs says, or Psalm 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. So, I mean, basically the Bible says if you borrow something, you need to pay it back. Now, you find here, listen, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. So you see the difference here. One is borrowing money that they shouldn't borrow and not paying it back. The other not only is laboring and getting money, but they're giving. So one is a taker and one is a giver. God wants us to be a giver. He says in the book of Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So the Bible wants us to be industrious and wise so that we have sufficient and that we can give if the situation arises, you see. Now, Christians across the land and as near as our own homes do not act wisely when it comes to money. Now, neither riches nor poverty are a sign of Christianity, for both are found in the world of unbelievers. There's rich unbelievers and there's poor unbelievers. And there's rich Christians and there are poor Christians. So riches in and of themselves are not a sign that someone is a Christian. You can be a Christian and be poor. We find it our Lord, his parents. When they made the offering, it was turtle doves. The turtle dove offering was only an option for someone that was poor when he was born and so forth. So there's nothing intrinsically evil about being poor or something about being rich. It's how we live for the Lord. Now, our wisdom in financial matters is a sign of being led by the Spirit. Our finances should not have control of us. We should have control of them. It's like your thoughts. Brother Watkins has been teaching about our thought life. If your thoughts bully you and your thoughts control you and your worries and fears oppress you, your thoughts are controlling you instead of you controlling your thoughts. And some people, their finances are controlling them instead of them controlling their finances. Every aspect of our lives is to be under wisdom and the leadership of the Spirit and under the control that God gives us in wisdom and understanding. Now, some Christians today live beyond their means and bring themselves into financial bondage. I'll never forget, I think it was Larry Burkett. I always liked him more than this other gentleman that you hear. But he, I think, he ended up dying of cancer years ago. But I always liked his wisdom. But he told about counseling people. This a Christian had one of those radio programs. And he said someone come in and say, boy, we just can't make it. You know, we make $20,000 a year, and it just no way we can make ends meet having all these problems. Then someone came in, well, my wife and I, we can't make it. You know, we're making $40,000 a year and just can't make ends meet. And then he counseled someone else, well, my wife and I are making $80,000 a year, and we just can't make ends meet. And so, obviously, there's something there. You know, we always have a tendency and the temptation just to live beyond our means, and we need to be careful about that. If finances should not bring us into a place of worry and fear, and when we cannot pay monthly bills and payments that have accumulated. Now, sometimes there are circumstances in life that are beyond our control, but under our natural stewardship, we should be able to have control of these things and be able to not be under the duress in regard to these things. What I am talking about is when people get themselves into situations with the ease of using credit cards, charge accounts, and loans, and ensnare themselves. You see? Let me give you some signs that people are in trouble in this regard, in the borrowing. If someone uses one credit card to pay the monthly payment of another, now typically you can't do that. You would have to be creative. Probably get a cash, cash withdrawal or something, or a balance transfer, that kind of thing. But if you're using one credit card to pay another credit card, obviously there is a problem there. One is in trouble when they charge unnecessary items because they're depressed. Some people are just depressed, and to get rid of the depression, they go out and they get something, and they don't have the money, so they just charge it. And then it's kind of like a spiral staircase. It just goes down and down and down, because now, after the little excitement runs off for, wears off for buying something, then you're in greater debt and have a greater problem, and so it just spirals down like that. And so we need to be careful that we're not buying things with money that we don't have because we're depressed and just trying to bring some excitement. Or basically, it's a distraction. What happens is that, especially in our society, people, they always, want some kind of distraction because they won't have to think about things, so they want entertainment. They just always want something, activity going on, something going on. Listening to something, doing something. They never just want to sit down by themselves and just meditate, because then they begin to realize all these different things and they're troubled. Now, one is in trouble when they let bills go delinquent. And once again, there are times when, illness can come in and various things come in. That's why the Bible says bear one another's burdens. We're to be mindful of that and encourage one another. But when there is trouble because of people not working diligently, because of abuse of credit cards, because of just buying things on impulse and buying things that are not needed, and someone is in trouble when they're not paying their bills. One is in trouble when they lie to creditors who desire their money. And so the creditor calls instead of being responsible and saying, can we work together some kind of a payment plan? I'm having difficulty making this payment, and do you have someone that you can refer me to that we can work out something, instead of just lying about it and making problems worse, you see. And so Proverbs 21:20 teaches us something. Let's look over there. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. Proverbs 21:20, There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But the foolish man spendeth it up. Now, of course, oil would be kind of a standard. This would be representative of having some substance, having some money. In this day and time, they did not have paper money. They did not have things. Many times they could trade stuff and so forth. And so this would be a commodity. It would be a medium of exchange. It would be something valuable. So there's treasure to be desired and oiling in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it up. So here he's saying, if someone has wisdom, they should have their basic needs met. They should even be at the point that if someone's in need, that they can give to them, you see. But, and not just having the attitude of just spending everything and spending and spending, you see. That's the wrong attitude that we find here. Now, this verse that we just quoted obviously has practical financial application, as we just addressed, but it reminds me of a spiritual application also. I couldn't help but think, remember of the 10 virgins of the 5 that were foolish? Why? How was their foolishness manifest? Their oil ran out. They didn't have any oil. And so certainly those treasures and that oil that you have, make sure that in the things of God you have the faith and the trust in God and have those things that are necessary. Make sure that you're not deficient in having the righteousness of Jesus Christ and salvation and being filled with the good Spirit of God. Look with me at Proverbs 21:17. And this is it was a problem back then, and it's a problem today. And that is people that spend too much on pleasure. Look at 21:17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. And man, we live in a day today. I mean, it's just going and doing and pleasure and having fun and so forth. And we have to be careful about that. Sometimes we just don't have the money to do this or that. And so we need to make wise choices. And there are a lot of things that are a blessing and can find enrichment and joy that you don't have to spend money doing, basically just in the service of God and in encouraging one another and so forth. There are a lot of things that can be done. In Proverbs 21:25, boy, so much wisdom here in the book of Proverbs. Look at 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Now, basically, the point here is that some are lazy and will not work diligently to pay their bills. I'll never forget, we had a young man come in, oh, he's in his 20s, and he was seeking help. And matter of fact, he was stuttering when he came in. And I started talking to him. I said, well, you look like a strong man. I said, you know, healthy. I said, where do you work at? He said, oh, I don't like to work. I thought within my heart, or maybe even said it out loud, this conversation's over. And so here we find the slothful. Now, there's there's only one interpretation of this verse, the correct one. I'm just not sure what it is. You'll get different interpretations. It's a little confusing. What it seems to me, he's using the expression, we use it sometimes in laughter. You know, don't tell me another joke, you're killing me. You know, and we use that meaning that in a good way, you're tormenting me. You're so funny, I can't stop. I can't laugh anymore. It's hurting. But I think the idea here is that the person knows he needs to do things. He wants things, but he's too lazy to work for them. And that desire is just killing him. You know, because he's caught between a rock and a hard place. He wants things, he needs things, but he's too lazy to work for things. And it's just killing him that he doesn't have these things, but he's too lazy to work for them to get them. I think that's the idea. Now, in other words, work is God's way that we provide for ourselves. The Apostle Paul spoke of some in the church at Thessalonica. It says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And so the Lord has commanded us, and he's I keep that command. He's commanded us to work, but if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, obviously, we understand exceptions to this. You know, we don't have to go into all those different things. Someone could be so ill they can't work in those things. Or someone may want to work and not have, there may not be any jobs to be hired because of some tragedy within the culture and society. But under the normal conditions, he's saying here that you need to work and take care of your responsibility of providing for yourself. And some go to the other extreme. They work so many hours and just because they want more. And they work and they work and they work and they work. They exhaust their lives, exhaust their health. They can't come to the house of God because of just extreme work. Now, what do you do? Well, break the cycle. Just repent and begin immediately to start acting wisely. We can repent of things. We can change things. Some things, things take a while to correct. We can pray for God's wisdom. We can pray for understanding. One cannot give in to a hopeless attitude nor to an unwise pattern of life. We can change. We can cease doing evil and learn to do well. We do what we can. You know, remember the he that is faithful in least is faithful in much. And I've learned that with students. Okay, you have 5 pages of work. And I go to the student and the student says, oh, I can't do 5 pages. I can't do 5 pages. I say, well, you've had a half hour to work. How much have you done? Well, I haven't done anything. You see? And so that reveals something. And many times, you know, we can just do a little bit. And we can just do a little bit. And we can just do a little bit. And that becomes a little more. So we do what we can. Refuse impulse buying. And especially today, man, you have the TV. You can call. They have the internet. And, you know, this and that. Refuse impulse buying. Spending money you don't have because you're depressed. I mentioned that earlier. Be responsible to your creditors and work out payment plans. You know, if you're having problems, just don't avoid. Deal with the problem and be responsible about it. And here's one. Trust God to provide for you. Don't run out and charge something just because it's a need. I mean, sometimes we can pray and God will provide things. And I've seen God provide things. And I mean, it's just really a blessing when you're praying about something and all of a sudden someone comes up, hey, do you know anyone that needs, you know, and it's the very thing that you need. And so trust God about these things and pray about things. Begin to plan for tomorrow and walk in humility, trusting God. Some do not financially plan for their future, which is not wise. And we're running out of time, but go to James. Let's try, not James, right here in Proverbs, excuse me. Go to Proverbs 6. He uses the ant. In Proverbs chapter 6, we can learn a lesson by the ant. In Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now, what they're saying is the ant goes out when it's summer, goes out when it's harvest, and when there's opportunities and provides for things because the winter's coming. And the ants, they store up the food for the winter. So obviously, we need to plan. There's times when we have need. Now, in the Bible, it really doesn't give the American culture idea. Okay, I'm going to work for 66 years. I'm going to retire, and I'm just going to fish and do this and so forth. You don't find that in the Bible. The only thing, I was reading about the Levites, and because they had to carry such heavy furniture, I mean, could you imagine carrying the Ark of the Covenant and the altar and all of that? They actually began at 25, but the best we can understand, some says 25, some verses, others say 30. And so the commentators, they figure that probably what it was, they started as a Levite at 25, but they didn't carry the heavy stuff till 30, and then they stopped carrying the heavy stuff at 50. But they just didn't stop. Then it says then that they would minister, and basically instruct and minister and watch over things. But the idea of, in other words, what I'm saying is that God ordained us to work. He ordained us to use our life. And there's not anything wrong with having some leisure and different things, but we ought to always be productive in some sense of the term. Our life ought to always be invested in some particular work, some ministry, and using our life for the glory of God. But as we get older, sometimes there's not the ability to get the income that there is when we're younger. And so certainly wisdom needs to be, in planning. But on the contrary part, Proverbs 11:28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And so a person plans and they do things, but they don't trust in that. They trust in the Lord and trust the Lord to take care of them. Listen to what James says, and here's a wrong attitude. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In other words, we plan, but it's not like our plans are infallible, or our plans are cannot change, and that we have power that we don't have. In other words, we need to submit everything to the Lord. If the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that. And that ought to be the attitude of our life. And so we plan, but we don't trust in our riches. We're like the ant, and we have wisdom, but you don't, you always have to trust in the Lord, no matter what the circumstance is. Planning is wise, but planning without the Lord is unwise. The husband and wife, and here's some practical things. I can't give you chapter and verse, just some practical things. I think a husband and wife, and of course you may have situations where it'd just be you, and this is still true then, but a husband and wife should each have a will. It doesn't cost very much to get a will, and it's good to have one. Even when things would automatically go to the spouse, so you have to go through probate and everything. And so it's good to have a will and cut down on the problems on that, so there's no confusion, especially if children and grandchildren. Sometimes they might get confused and, Dad said this and Mom said that and those kind of things. It's good to have a will. Insurance. It's good to have life insurance. There's different kinds, and obviously you people know these, and in many of these areas you're perhaps excelling me in wisdom and understanding. And so I'm just trying to bring these things before you. But it's good to have some life insurance. I know I got some term policies that are relatively cheap, and they eventually run out. The one runs out when I'm 70, and the other one, instead of just stopping, it diminishes. In other words, it's so much, but then it goes down 10,000 or down whatever each year. But it's good so that you, when you die, it shouldn't be a burden on your spouse, shouldn't be a burden on your family. You should be able, to have money for a burial and be able, if you're leaving a spouse, so that she can be helped and that kind of thing. And so it's good to have some life insurance. And as I mentioned already, although today's mentality of retirement is not something that that particular model we don't see in the scripture, we still certainly need to realize as we get older, the ability to work and provide becomes less, and so we ought to have wisdom and plan for that. And one should have money for some savings for hard times, because we know that what life presents us. It's good to have medical insurance, especially in this high day of medical cost and so forth. Help in those areas. And I know there's various things in concerning medical insurance. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at this. We'll bring this to a close. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. It says there, Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. And I think that there's a basic thing that, the Lord takes care of his people. Now, you understand, we have to be responsible. We have to be stewards. We just can't be lazy and negligent and not pay. But basically what I'm saying is that here gives me the idea that if we have invested our lives, that God's gracious and God will help us and provide for us. And so I just went over this very quickly. There's so much more that could be said, but we have to be careful, especially in our times. And so many Christians have ensnared themselves and they get into a place they're tempted to lie. And that's what he said here. I didn't catch that back in our text. I'm sorry. Go back to chapter 30. I'm sorry. And I had you close your Bibles, I think, there. Chapter 30 in our text. He says, verse 8 of our text, he said, remove far from me vanity and lies. Well, the vanity would be trusting in your riches. I have all of I need. That's vanity. The lying is probably more of a temptation for the poverty. You know, and so we need to be in a situation that God keeps us from vanity and he keeps us from lying. In other words, we shouldn't just accumulate things and so pursue things that we trust in our riches and we don't need the Lord. And then again, we need to exercise wisdom. And we understand that life is such that any one of us, circumstances that we could come beyond our control that we just really didn't plan for. None of us, but under normal circumstances, we need to be able to plan and to have so that we can be responsible and take care of ourselves, take care of our family. And then when circumstances are beyond our control, that's when God calls us, you know, to help one another, sometimes within families, to help one another and within the church. But just a few things, and there's a lot in the book of Proverbs, a lot of wisdom in there. I have just quickly gone through some different things, but there's much, much more in there. And particular things that we need to be instructed in so that we can have wisdom in our life and the stewardship of our finances and all that God has given us. All right, let's all stand, Brother Buddy, come and we'll close.